Good morning. It's good to be with you and good to have you here with us. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know how much we're honored that you chose to worship with us this hour and to be with us. Here in a minute, when I'm done, we're going to have some Bible classes in the back for all ages. And if you don't know where to go, just grab someone and we'll be happy to show you where to go. After Bible class, we're going to have a fellowship meal, as you said. And at that fellowship meal, we allow the visitors to go first in line. And I heard that the guest preacher this morning gets to go in front too. And so you make sure to find me and I'll get you to the front of the line. This morning, I'd like to look at Nehemiah chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Nehemiah chapter 4. What we're going to look at this morning is overcoming in the time of opposition. In our lives, no matter if it's a personal or a spiritual goal, no matter what it is in life that we are trying to accomplish, chances are we're going to face some sort of opposition. Opposition is going to come our way. And so what I'd like to do this morning is just look at Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to take points from Nehemiah chapter 4, and that's where we're going to be. We're not going to be flipping around. All of our points will be coming from Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to look at how can we overcome when we face opposition. When we set out to do something, when we set out to a goal, how can we overcome when the opposition comes our way? Before we get into this, in order for us to have a goal, whether it's a personal goal or a spiritual goal, three things must happen. Number one, it must be written down. So if you tell yourself, okay, this is what I want to accomplish, this is what I'm trying to aim towards, this is what my ultimate goal is, and of course in life, both personal and spiritual, when we, through life, if we don't have goals, then we're just floating through and we're content. And so we should always have some sort of goal that we're trying to reach. And so number one, it has to be written down. Number two is it has to have a time frame. You have to tell yourself, okay, at this time frame, I want to accomplish this goal. Or I want to have a check mark. And the third thing is it must be realistic. And so those three things in our personal and our spiritual life, we can aim and say, this is where I'm trying to grow on my chart. Now in Nehemiah was given a task. Nehemiah was told, okay, you're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. What happened was is the walls fell down. They were a great pile of rubbish, fiery mess. And Nehemiah said, I'm going to rebuild the wall. Now Nehemiah had a task. Nehemiah had a goal. Time frame, 52 days. Now here's what's going to happen, is Nehemiah in this text was about to face some serious opposition. And as we go throughout this text, I want you to think in your life, in your personal or spiritual life, whatever it is in your mind, when opposition comes your way, I want us to look at what Nehemiah did in this text and what we do when we face trials. Because oftentimes when I look at this text, I think to myself, how can I better equip myself and how can I better serve others when I'm faced with opposition, because I'm the kind of person that when I'm faced with opposition, I like to back off or I like to stand down and I say, oh, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the best idea. But Nehemiah shows me a little bit of a different view, and I want to share that with you this morning. So notice with us verse number 6. Here's our first point. The people had, so we built the wall, verse 6, and the wall was joined together half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now Nehemiah, before he gets started in this text, this is what happens is Nehemiah is told, okay, I'm going to build this wall, and he sets it out. Sambalot comes and says, okay, I heard that you were about to build the wall. I don't like this idea. And he says, what are you going to do? What is your ultimate goal? You feeble Jews, are you going to build this wall all by yourself? Are you going to offer sacrifices? Are you really think that you're going to rebuild this wall? Verse number 4 says, Tobiah the Ammonite came to Nehemiah when he was there with Sambalot and said, even that wall that you build, the wall that you build. Now notice in verse 6, they're at half its height. He says, now at the wall that you're building at this time, even if a little fox, a small little lightweight fox, was to climb up on that wall, it would break down and it would crumble. Let me ask you a question, friends. How many times in life have you set out to do a goal, you start working on that goal, and immediately someone says, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Maybe they say you're not good enough. Maybe they say you're not smart enough. Maybe they say that you're not brave enough. You don't need to be doing that. You're not wise enough. Let me tell you something, friends. When you set out to put forward a goal, you're going to be faced with opposition. Nehemiah was set forth to put out a goal. They started working on this goal, and immediately someone is standing in front of them saying, that wall that you're about to build, it's not going to work. The wall that you're building is going to fall. Most people in life that are successful, if you read about their documentary or their biography or whatever that's called that about their life, you see over and over again that they were faced with some sort of opposition. When Steve Jobs decided that he was going to start his company, he was faced with a lot of opposition. Michael Jordan was told that you're not going to play basketball. You read about these people and they're faced with these oppositions. They had a goal, but they were faced with these oppositions. And in life, when you set forth a goal, especially spiritual, you're going to find that maybe no one around you is opposing you, but Satan is opposing you. You see, in life, when you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, Satan, in a way, is saying, well, okay, I'll let him go to church. I'll let him, you know, read his Bible or pray. But I got him the rest of the week. But when you make the decision to say, both of my feet are in the church, both of my feet are spiritually moving forward, that's when Satan says, okay, game over. If you look online, if you go to our Facebook page for Highland Heights, and it's a public one, you're going to see a lot of these posts. And in the caption in those posts, you're going to see a phrase, not today, Satan. The reason why that's so popular is because Satan is constantly, every single day, trying to drag you down from what you're trying to accomplish. Whether it's personal or whether it's spiritual, you're going to have some sort of opposition. Notice Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, so we started to build this wall. It got to half its height. He said, but we kept moving forward because the people had a mind to work. In order for a person to successfully move forward in life, number one, you must have a mind to work. And this is something that we all understand. We have to have a mind to work. If I tell myself, you know what, I'm going to go in the NFL. I'm going to be the next Derrick Henry. I'm going to be the greatest of all time. But I sit on my couch and never go to the gym. I never do anything. I never run sprints. I never throw my ball. I never catch the ball. Do you really think I'm going to make it to the NFL? Why? Because I never really had the mind to work. I had maybe a thought. I had maybe I'd like to do this. But I never had the mind to work. I never put forth the effort. I never put forth the action. And so in life, when we set forth to do something, we have to first and foremost have a mind to work. Not only in the personal aspect, but friends, let me take a moment to talk about the spiritual aspect. In the church collectively, we as a group of people, Highland Heights Church of Christ right here, us in this room, when we set forth to do something, each one of us has to have a mind to work. And as collectively we put our minds together and we put our goals and our strengths and our weaknesses and we put it all together, we can be unstoppable because each person's on the same track to have a mind to work. We have a mind to move forward. We're not content. We're not happy with where we are. And I'm not referring to anything that's wrong here. Please let me say that. I'm just giving you an example of what I'm trying to get across with the people who had a mind to work. Contentment should never be in the case for this Christian. You're never going to find it in the Bible where it says a person does his time. Someone told me one time, he said, you know what, Jake? I've been in the church for 50 years. I've done my time. It's the next generation's turn. And I said, well, let's talk about this. And we discussed it for a while. And the problem was that a lot of people have this mindset that it's like a career, that you do your 25 or 30 years and then you get to retire until the Lord comes back or until we're called home. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And you see, throughout life, we can become content and we become happy. Well, I'm okay with doing this, or I'm okay with doing that. And I'm set and I'm content and I'm just kind of going through life. But friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we have to continuously be pressing forward. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I continually pressing forward to the prize which lies ahead. What does he mean when he says he's continually moving forward? He means I'm not staying still. I'm not stopping where I'm at. I'm constantly moving forward. And so in life, when we look at our own life and our spiritual walk, ask ourselves the question, am I content where I'm at? Or am I doing something in my life to move forward to the next step? Am I moving forward to where I want to be? What's our ultimate goal? Heaven? Is that our ultimate goal? Heaven. And so what am I doing to get myself, my family, my friends, this congregation, what am I doing to get us to heaven? What am I doing to help push others forward to get to the ultimate goal? Notice verse number 7 and 8. Now, Nehemiah faces his opposition, right? He's thrown with this curveball. They're coming at him saying, this isn't going to happen. This isn't what's meant to be. This wall ain't going to work. It's going to fall down. It's going to crumble. Verse number 7 and 8. He says, and we prayed to our God and set guard as a protection against them day and night. Now, at this point, did Nehemiah put on his boxing glove and say, okay, let's go? Did he say, you know what, forget it, I'm going to back off? You know what, you're right. Maybe a fox would break down this wall. Is that what he did when he was faced with opposition? He said, no, this is what I'm going to do. You coming at me, you're trying to discourage me. You're trying to break me down. You're trying to beat me down. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm praying to my God. I am praying to the one who is my protector. In life, when we're faced with opposition, we need to go to God in prayer, who is our protector, who's going to protect us from the one who's trying to drag us down. In life, it's easy to quit, and it's easy to give up. That's the easy thing to do. Jesus never gave up on us. When we look at our life and we think, well, who can I go? What can I do in this time of situation? In this situation? What can I do to overcome? What can I do to get over this hurdle? I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. Ask yourself the question, did I go to God in prayer? Let me ask you a question, friends. Did I really go to God in prayer? Did I really, truly go to my Heavenly Father and say, Lord, take this hurdle from my life? Take this opposition. I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to press forward. I'm trying to do what I was called to do. This is in my way. Do we really pray to God and say, Lord, deliver this from me. Get this out of my way. You know, too many times, sometimes we walk through and we think to ourselves, yeah, I prayed. Yeah, I prayed to God. But in passing, we say, Lord, take care of this for me. But do we really, truly pray to our God in the time of need? The other thing is, it's easy to ignore the situation at hand. It's easy to ignore what's done around you. It's easy to say, you know what? There's opposition. I'm just going to ignore it. Here's what happens when you ignore opposition, friends. At one moment before you even realize it, you're going to be up against the wall, pinned, and you're going to say, where do I go from here? Where do I go in this situation now? Now I'm too far deep. I don't know how to get out of it. And so when we pray to God right from the beginning and we say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to willingly go to God in prayer like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was faced with opposition. And instead of giving up, instead of backing down, instead of ignoring it, he went to truly God in prayer and said, deliver me from this situation. Take this hurdle from us so we can continue doing what we're here to do. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to go to God and say, listen, we need to keep moving forward. Deliver this from me and be the one who we go to as our protector. Never limit God's power. Pray for those people. Pray for God to eliminate that hurdle from your life. Notice verse number 10. Now, Nehemiah is starting to get a little, he's not quitting, but notice what he's about to say. Even when we have a mind to work and even when we pray to God, sometimes we still feel discouraged. We still feel brought down. We still feel as though this is not going to work. Sometimes we think that when we say amen, it's going to be perfect right then and there. And that's not how it works. And I believe Nehemiah saw this here. Notice verse number 10. He said, the strength of our burden bearers, the strength of our workers here that are building the wall is failing. And he said, yet there is much rubbish and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Now, is Nehemiah saying that we're going to quit? Does Nehemiah say that we are going to stop? No, that's not what he's saying. What he is saying is, Lord, there's a lot to do. And there's a lot of people here who are starting to fail. There's a lot of people here who are starting to lower down. They're hankering down. They're saying, man, this ain't going to work. This isn't going to happen. And he says, we are unable to rebuild the wall. Notice with me the next point, verse number 15. When our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, why did God frustrate their plan? He went to prayer to God and delivered this from them. We all returned to the wall. They came back and they started rebuilding the wall, each to his own work. Here's what I want to say about this, friends, and this is where we're going to spend most of the rest of our sermon this morning. I have to clear the air with this statement because this is something that I struggle with. But I cannot do everything that you can do. And you cannot do everything that I can do. And that's part of life. I'm the kind of person, I'm a type D personality, which means that I like to do everything. I'm a go-getter. I just want to get it done. I don't really care. Just get out of my way and we're going to knock this out of the park. In reality, I need to slow down. And I need to say, okay, put the brakes on. What do I do in this situation? There's things that you can do that I cannot do. Let me give you an example, friends. Some of you may know this about me, but some of you may not. Since I was in elementary school, I can't read real well. That's why I have to memorize everything. Now, I can read. If you put something in front of me, I can read what it says. I can read the screen back there. But if you ask me what I just read, I can't tell you what I just read. My brain don't work that way. I have to, now, if you say, hey, Jake, the cat ate the hat. Now, what did I say? I can say the cat ate the hat. But if you ask me to read it, and I'll look up and I'll say, I have no idea what I just read. That's the way my brain works. I had this in elementary school. So the problem is that when I get up here, if I have an outline right here, the way that it works is that my eyes naturally want to be drawn to that outline, and I never look at you. And I want to look at you. But there's people in this room who can get up here and who can take the scripture reading like Dakota did this morning and can read it beautifully, and he'll know what to say. There's men here who can get up here and preach from an outline and get to stand here. The camera guys are so mad at me because I bounce around like a rabbit, but that's just the way that my brain is. I can't help that. I have to have nothing in front of me, because if I do, then my eyes naturally go down. But for you, a lot of you, you can do that. There's men here in this room, young men, listen to me. I'm jealous of you, and I'm going to say the word jealous because that's what it is. When you get up here to lead singing, you don't know how proud I am of you. And then you can get up here and you take your hand and you do this. I'm still working on what this is because I've never learned how to do it. I want to learn how to do that, but I keep time like this or my foot, but I've just found out you guys keep time that way, but I never learned how to do that, but that's something that I love to watch you do. I think you guys are kings when you do that. I'm like, wow, look at them young ones up there just doing that. That amazes me. There's things in this room. There's so much talent in this room. There's so many people in this room that have things that can glorify God. If we put it all together, we would be unstoppable because we all have unique traits. We all have unique talents. We all have unique gifts. God created Phil and said, Phil, you're going to have a beautiful voice and you're going to lead a church in worship. That's a talent. That's a gift. He told the men in the back, hey, you're going to have the gift of technology and you're going to make sure that people can hear me and see what I want to say, and the cameras will be pointed and you're going to know how to operate it. Some of you are going to say, hey, you're going to be elders. You're going to have this gift to be an elder and you're going to shepherd this congregation. You're going to be a deacon. You're going to have this gift and this talent, and you're going to put forth what God created you to do. And you see, friends, when we look at the plan and we look at what God wants us to do and we say, you know what? This is what I was created to. This is what I was called to do. We step out of this comfort zone and we tell ourselves, this is what I need to do. Too many people, though, in life know what their talent is. They just never step out to accomplish it. They never step out of that comfort zone to say, this is what I can do. This is what I'm meant to do. This is what I have a talent in being in overcoming. Some of the men here, you can get up here and you can lead a prayer. Lead this congregation in prayer. And I love it. The words, and you lead the congregation so beautifully. And you can ask others in this congregation. If you ask me to lead a prayer last minute, I'm hyperventilating. I don't know why. I'd rather you say, Jake, the preacher's sick, he can't preach, go preach a sermon. I can do that, but don't ask me to lead a prayer. But there's someone here, there's everyone here, can get up here like it's no problem and lead a prayer, do the scripture reading. And friends, I just want to tell you how encouraging that is to me, because that's something that maybe you don't think is a big deal, but to someone like me, I promise you, it means the world when I see you partake in worship that way. Some other things that I want to talk about in regards to this each to his own work is FH, Anna, and myself, we run the public Highland Heights Facebook page. And so a lot of times when people come and they visit with us, they put a message to us, or they'll comment, or they'll rate the church, and they'll say, great sermon, great atmosphere, and but they'll leave these messages. Now, I started to go through these messages, and I started to reading them all, and I could not count, I promise you, I could not count how many people left us a positive message with this phrase: we walked into church and was immediately greeted with a loaf of friendship bread. And we giggle about that. But something so small, and a talent that God has given Granny Ford, and I'm sorry I'm saying your name, I know I didn't ask permission first, but I'm going to look this way. Something so small, we'll never know the impact that it makes to the people who visit us. We'll never have an idea, just that little talent, that little, you know what, God gave me the talent to make this bread, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to give it to those who come in and visit with us. I tried to be a visitor months after I placed membership. I kept trying to go up and say, I'm still visiting, but that didn't work. But anyways, you understand where I'm coming with this, is that sometimes we think it's no big deal. Sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm good at that, but what good is that going to do me? But when you see behind the scenes and when you see what other people see, I couldn't count all the messages that I had of the encouragement that people left about that bread. And so sometimes we have talents that we hide because we don't think it's no good, but God gave that to you for a reason, and I want to encourage you to let that out and let others see the glory of God through what he has blessed you with. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, the scripture says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I use the CSB translation in this text here because I like that it says he prepared in advance for us to do. God created you unique. He created you special. And each person has good works inside of you. You have talents and traits and characteristics that I don't have and that you don't have. And he created you independently. ESV says that we should walk in them. And so if we have this talent and we do nothing with it, if we have this gift and we do nothing with it, then we're wasting what God created us to do. So I want to encourage you again to step out of that comfort zone. Wrong button. Notice our last point. Verse number 23. He says, "So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants or the men of the guard who followed me." What he's saying is everyone that was present with him at this time, none of us took off our clothes. No one around us decided to stop and sleep and rest, except it be for washing, as the King James says. But this version says, "Each keep his weapons at his right hand." Notice 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. When you are faced and you are putting forth a mission to complete a goal for God, naturally you're going to have Satan at your hand. 1 Peter 5, 8, he says, "Be careful and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." What is he saying? When you set forth a goal to be on Team Jesus, Satan is naturally going to be attacking you constantly. And what he's saying is, be careful and be watchful. Because sometimes when you set forth a motion, you could be drugged down by the one who is your adversary and who is not going to help you succeed. Notice it says it's easy to give up and it's hard to persevere, but we as Christians always need to continually press forward to the prize which lies ahead. Let's take away some applications as we close. Number one, sometimes we're called to do things that we don't think that we can do. Sometimes we are called to do things that we are uncomfortable doing. Sometimes we allow our past to hinder us from moving forward. This is one that a lot of people ask me. They're like, "Man, you talk about past a lot." And I do hear that a lot, because a lot of my messages talk about overcoming your past. In 2011, a situation happened in my life. If you want to know the situation, come see me at the church. I'll be happy to explain it. I just don't have time right now. But a man who I highly admired, who was a gospel preacher, told me, "Jake, because of this situation, even though you were not at fault, you will never be in a pulpit ever again." And for years, I believed that. I looked up to this man. For years, I said, "Okay, well, I'll never preach." I just graduated from the school of preaching, and I was starting to preach at the West Memphis Church of Christ in West Arkansas. And then the situation happened, and I decided it wasn't best for me because of what this man said, who I highly admired. But friends, listen, sometimes we can't allow our past to hinder us from what God called us to do. We have to keep moving forward and keep pressing towards the prize which lies ahead. Number four, sometimes we look around us and think it can't be done, but then we are limiting God's power. In life, there's going to be goals that come your way where you think this cannot be done. You may be your own worst enemy. Too many times, and I'm this way too, I set forth something in my mind and I say, "Oh, okay, hold up, this can't be done. I probably should have thought about this." But sometimes we're just limiting God's power. Just remember that these thoughts come into your mind for a reason. Sometimes act on those things. This morning we noticed that in order to overcome in the time of oppression, we have to, number one, have a mind to work. Number two, pray to our God. Each do your own work and keep moving forward. When you step out of your comfort zone, you step into your purpose. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. You may be here and you may be thinking to yourself, "You know what? It's time for me to step out of this comfort zone. I'm comfortable being in the sin that I'm in, maybe. I'm comfortable. I'm content. I didn't want it to happen. I didn't want to become comfortable in this, but it just turned out that I've let it go for so long and it doesn't really affect me no more. But today's the day I'm stepping out of this comfort zone and I'm stepping into my purpose of being a Christian, being a born-again individual. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed. And I want to leave this place fulfilling what God created and called me to do. I want to encourage you that when we stand and we sing this song, you step out of that pew, which could be your comfort zone, and you take a chance and you walk down here and you confess that you have done wrong in your life. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. Maybe you want to be a Christian. Now's the time. Leave this place stepping into your purpose. If we can help you in any way, come now while together we stand and while we sing.